What's up, everyone? And this is Next Level Thinking.
What's up, everyone? It's another episode of Next Level Thinking. It's your host, Chris Holmes, as always, helping provide value and help you elevate to the next level. But today I have my special guest by the name of
Gavin Lira here.
Awesome, awesome. So let's go ahead and hit the ground running. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So to keep this short, right, and to not have a super long intro, I'll try to keep it within like 60, 90 seconds here, high-level overview. But basically, yeah, I'm a 20-year-old dude who loves entrepreneurship. I love, you know, people in general, making a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And right now I run a marketing agency. It's Empathy Digital Marketing, which I have to give credit to this because I'm saying my partners in that agency, the people I work with are fucking killer. I love them. Awesome. Building a culture and a great team is definitely something we can hit on later. And I believe it's such a big part of success and just happiness in general in the workplace too, because most people go into work not even feeling fulfilled and empowered. So just to build a place like that and continue that, I absolutely love it. Something that really motivates me. But yeah, we service interior remodeling companies primarily. We've also worked with immigration attorneys and even like, I mean, we've tested out a lot of niches along the way, and we can dive into that if you want. You clearly, you know, steer the ship with how you want to go. But yeah, that's about it. Just a guy who, you know, nothing special about him, just loves entrepreneurship and has a fucking great work ethic and attitude. And yeah, just loving life. So
that's what it's all about. And then the sky's the limit. So let's go ahead and build a little bit more about your story about you. And then we'll start dropping the major value bombs and things like that. So
yeah.
So like, how did you get the spark into entrepreneurship? Like, did it start like in your childhood? Like, what influenced you to get into it?
That's a great question, Chris. Yeah. So it's really interesting, man, because when I grew up, my dad actually has been an entrepreneur in different stuff and had different ventures. And so always knew
like them in birth. You were just
you would think so, right? You would think so. I think it was kind of embedded in me, but I did not discover it till later. Cause this is what happened is I always thought, because I saw how stressful it was at times with him, you know, growing up and just like the ups and downs of it all. And I always have respected his work ethic and, you know, just a willingness to put himself out there because it is a risk, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I grew up and I'm like, man, business is boring because like, I don't know. I just, it seemed like a whole bunch of dudes wearing suits, hating their lives. That's kind of what I envisioned.
You know what? Everybody thought, I'm not going to lie. Even I thought that when you mentioned business, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, the suit and tie and the, yes, sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. Like just sitting in a cubicle, kind of like, oh, I hate my life, but I get a good paycheck.
And I
like,
can't jump out the window. Not playing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If you got a window next to you, man. Right. Like that's what, I always thought of it as, and I was always like, you know, chemistry is interesting going through high school. Maybe I'll do something with that. But I'm like, not really. History is interesting, but I don't really want a career in that. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. I actually thought I wanted to be a therapist, to be honest, because I believe empathy is one of the like most amazing skills a person can develop. Sure. And it can help solve so many problems in your personal life and in business. They're really intertwined. And that's one thing I love about entrepreneurship is when you level up in your personal life, you really level up as a leader, therefore leveling up your business. Hey, Yeah. So I love how they're so intertwined because it just like is combining so many goals of mine. But really, the thing is, I found out my junior year, I was on my phone, right? And I was on YouTube in the rabbit hole. Know when you're just going down and you're looking up.
Just getting like, sucked up in the rabbit hole. Just going
just all the suggested videos and stuff. And you're like, yeah, seems interesting. Click, right? So I'm doing that. And I come across a video. And the video says how to start an online business with $0 down. And at this point, I have about $300 to just like, you know, that I could like invest into something, right? I didn't really have any money, like serious money. And I'm just like, man, I could start online business. I'm like, I don't care about the entrepreneurship. I just want the money. So I watched
that's
it.
That's just being honest.
I know. Well, dude, that's how I totally started. When I started, I was so money driven. Like that was my only motivation. And we can kind of go into how that changed over time, but it's totally different now. Like, don't get me wrong, dude, the money's still there. I just realized that the way to make the most money is to provide the most legitimate value in the long term. Cause you can scam people in the short term. You can, you know, upsell, downsell, cross sell when it's unethical, but really if you're doing the right thing over time, provide the most value, that's how you're going to make the most sustainable long-term money and build your relationship. I mean, your reputation, which is going to follow you in any industry or anything you go into, especially now when the internet's here that can expose people. But really what what I found though is I watched that video and I was like, it is probably bullshit. You know, it's 8 minutes, probably a scam. But it seemed legit, and it was drop shipping, right? It was drop shipping. If you're familiar, I'm sure you're familiar with it. I'm sure a lot of people listening are. And that's what I dove into. I was just like, I want to make money. I lost all my money, but that's when I got the entrepreneurship bug, because I'm like, damn, this is cool. Like, because in school, I would have gotten A+ on what I did. I followed the YouTube videos, aka the rubric, if we're comparing it to school, to A-T. I followed it to a T. Yet when I brought it to the marketplace, they gave me an F. I got one purchase and it was my mom. I got one fucking purchase out of all of it. It was my mom. Whoa. And exactly, bro. And that's when I realized, I'm like, man, this is real. This is a challenge, but the reward is so great that I'm willing to figure this out. And it was just something where I just felt like unlocked, because I got more into it. Dude, there's always ups and downs. Like, I'm jazzed up. I want to provide value to people. Now there's some days where I'm like, man, like, this is tough. Don't get me wrong.
And that's where you actually find out who you are as a person, because when you get challenged through adversity, it really challenges you to think, like, do you really want this? Like, how bad do you really want this?
Exactly, bro. That's what separates the 1% from the 99% of people that are going to try this, right? Is how much pain are you willing to sustain? And are you willing to keep solving these problems that smack you in the face and get up when you get put down? Because there are going to be those ups and downs. And I know that there's still going to be tons more to come. And it's part of the game, though, you know.
Make it some stronger haymakers when you go even higher, because that's like the biggest star targets.
Honestly, man, yeah, the haymakers are coming. but yeah, you know, it's just about just improving from there. But yeah, that's how I got into it. It was a bit of a longer answer, but that's how I got into it, and that's how I really knew, like, wow, this is something I'm interested in. And then you know, from that point, I pivoted to other business models, and that's how I ended in the agency space.
Okay, awesome. So, like, with all this, what is, like, one of the biggest, I'll give you a little room, give me two things that you learned through all of this, especially from, like, a transition of, you're like, this might be actually something that I want. It's like finding a pen, like, I like this pen. Let me see what I can do with this.
So you're saying two things I learned specifically when I started to dive into entrepreneurship, like at the beginning of that all? Okay, gotcha. The two things I learned were that A, school does not give you the right information.
Wait a minute, what you just need. Say? Wait a minute, you had to say that again, because that right there is a message.
school does not give you what you need to succeed when it comes to business and really just life in general, right? Don't get me wrong. Like, if you're learning something around, like, trigonometry, or, you know, you want to be an engineer or an accountant or something, you can follow that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can find the same stuff online for free if you're really self-motivated and still learn. Like, sure. That's just factual. But school does have, you know, proven method, and there is certain value in a degree just because it's a societal check mark that shows that you've done something.
You are verified.
Yeah, exactly. But really, I think as time goes on, that's going to get less and less important, because that's really interesting, because, like, college is saying, oh, it's going to be more and more important. I say bullshit to that, because they're so outdated, bro. I've been in college. You know, especially when you're talking about digital marketing, and look how much the world has changed in the last year alone. Okay. Now, I asked my college professor this my first semester in my intro business class. I asked her how long it takes to get a course change in curriculum, right? If you want to change something you're teaching in a course, how long does it take to actually get that changed? And because of the bureaucracy in most colleges, the minimum, this is minimum, so, like, almost never happens, is 12 months, realistically is 18 months. Ooh, so we're sitting here in these classrooms, teaching about business when we have fucking COVID that sped everything up so much quicker than they can't keep up. It's outdated. It's bureaucratic. I'm not a fan of it. Don't get me wrong. The professors, I'm like, most professors are pretty cool. You know, like, I'm not saying, like, shitting on them. It's just the system that they have to, like, stay within, and same with teachers. I think it's just, I just don't like how it's also not centered around people's interests. I get it. I just think it could be done a lot better, because the reason why, like, I've been able to learn what I have in entrepreneurship and apply these things and, you know, have the ups and downs, is because I'm actually interested in it. There's no way I could do this if I was trying to be the best at math. I wouldn't want to do it, you know? So I think genuine interest is something there. And I hope that answered your question, but feel free to, you know, ask a follow-up if I didn't hit on a specific detail there.
Oh, no, you're doing excellent. Just being yourself. That's what it's all about. I will actually add on to that, because you are right. By the time that the actual curriculum goes through at the college university, is, like, way behind. But here's the crazy thing. We always put, like, the universities up front. But here's the funny thing. This whole country was actually built from innovators. Mm-hmm. that went outside the traditional system.
Facts, dude. Facts. No, you're hitting such a thing.
I feel like it let you up. Go ahead.
No, this is such a great point, Chris, that you bring this up, because one thing I always think about is you ask any kid or even a teacher or anyone in this education system, for that matter, who their role model is, who their idol is. And then actually, once they answer that, look at that person's path. Look at the path that they took to get there. It is going to be so unconventional. They might have gone to college, sure, but like some of them won't have, some of them will have, but look at what they did outside of that too. It's so different. And that's why they're, you know, a 1% type. And I don't think everyone should aim to be like the 1% of whatever. Like some people are going to be perfectly happy just having a 9-to-5 and being cool. I'm just not like that. And that doesn't make me better than somebody. That just is how I am. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm saying if somebody's cool with that, it's cool. But what I'm saying is that really, like, if you ask those questions and then you look at the actual steps, it's like, it's just insanity to think like, oh, this is somebody who I'd love to be like, let me do something that everyone else does, but expect a totally different result. It makes no sense.
And that's how you, I mean, that's the only way you're going to progress as a society is by doing something new. From the time where we mm-hmm. looked at on the ground and looking at a bird, like, I'm guaranteeing you had two different people. One was like, there's no way that we can fly in the sky with a bird. And the other one's like, I can do that. Or like,
yeah,
to like outer space. It all comes from innovation. I mean, hey, this changed the way we look at the world today.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
More.
No, that's great points, man. I mean, it is crazy. Like the thinkers that can think when it's never been done to look at the sky and be like, yeah, people can fly up there. Like, dude, imagine how much they would have got roasted in their like society, especially back then when everything was even more like just traditional, right? And there's less quick moving speed because there isn't the internet. Because the internet allows people like you and I who are like-minded to share these ideas with other like-minded people as well, sure. Right? Now, when you don't even have that and you're just an ore brother or whatever looking in the sky and everyone thinks you're stupid, that's a really... really awesome.
People like, they call crazy and stupid are the one actually when they change and they're right are geniuses.
Yeah, yeah. What's the quote? It's like the people who think they're crazy enough to change the world are the ones that actually do, right? And I think it's like all progress depends on the unreasonable person, right? Because the unreasonable person is the one that's actually going to change what is thought to be possible, therefore progressing society and everyone else.
Yeah. Awesome. So now I'm going to throw you an alley on this one. So I say, yeah, another one goes. Just go as an all-star game. You're just dunking the basketball.
You know, bro. You got Lob City here when it was a thing. Yeah.
So, like, if someone wanted to get into entrepreneurship and they're like, I don't know where to start, what would you give or, like, what would you say to help them out? Because I'm pretty sure, especially now with everybody being more inside and everything turning more digital, there people are going more and more into entrepreneurship. So what would you say to that individual?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the main thing I'd say is you can, okay. So there's a few things here, right? Thing number one is you can find success in basically any like thing that's out there. Like if you're talking about like drop shipping or like running an agency or having a consulting program or whatever, like there, you can find success in all of them. I would say which one is going to give you the best chance of success with, and not even which one you're most passionate about, because I think that passion is a really like, and this is because my opinion on this used to be totally different. And I get both points, but I think passion is a bad thing to follow. I think like you should follow what you're good at and what you can have success in and then fall in love with that process. That's my personal belief. Cause when I wasn't passionate about running an agency, and dude, now I get fired up because like I see the people's lives that we're changing, our clients. I see our team members, their lives being changed because they're learning so much. Cause I believe that great leaders make other leaders. They don't just say, hey, you do this, you do that, and try to make people dependent on them. I'm really fixated on raising my team up and getting them to like above where I'm at in certain different areas and whatnot. Like I do not sure. want them to be dependent on me. I want them to be other leaders. And it just, I'm so in love with that process. So it's like a lot of times you have to look at goals and you mm-hmm. can't go directly from point A to point B in a straight line like you would think it would be. There are a lot of different angles and like, oh, I'll have an agency and I'll actually hit my goal of being a counselor because I'll not only be able to help my team members, and which gives me a lot of satisfaction for, like I said earlier, a therapist, counselor, that was something I considered doing. But it's also like, it's also really beneficial for me getting more money, which will then help me impact more people down the line, because Absolutely. Money's a great tool if you're using it correctly. And So that's number one, is realizing that whatever you're going to do, you can have success in it, but pick what you're going to most likely have more success in based on your skill sets and also the probability. For example, drop shipping. I didn't realize that you should actually have about $10,000 if you're legitimately looking to like test a drop shipping store, right? Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have less too. That just is what I've seen from people who are in the space that are crushing. They're like, yeah, you know, set aside some cash, because the quicker you can test, you're just going to be able to take off quicker. And agency, I mean, I started my agency with very little money too. My first client was $300 a month, but
subscriptions. we're gonna dive on that later, but keep going.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. But basically you want to get in the right vehicle for that, but it's also like, don't overthink it, because if you're gonna do high ticket, I think honestly most people should start in high ticket sales and working for somebody else, once you develop the skill of sales, yeah, because that's like, this is one thing I learned in my agency. If you're gonna outsource something, sales is one of the most expensive things to outsource, because it in supply and demand, there are not a lot of people that are really good closers. Right. So they can charge more, because they're literally, the rest of your company is dependent on the revenue that you can bring in on the front.
You gotta have it.
Exactly. Yeah. And sales too isn't just somebody talking. It's also what you do before they even get on the phone. It's the brand you build, the testimonials you have, that kind of stuff that can help somebody get over the edge and sometimes make them pre-sold before they even take the call.
Exactly. So it's like, if you see a very powerful brand that everybody trusts and respects, it's a lot more easier for it to be sold than someone completely brand new and are like, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. Because then it really becomes dependent on the relationship you build with the person. And you should always be looking to build some sort of rapport and relationship when you're on a call, in my opinion. But it's like, yeah, if you have that brand and what, it just makes it all easier. And that's when you really can take off. But so that's, you know, basically like number one, number two, I don't even remember which one it was. But the other things I would say is do what Chris is doing and what I did, right? I have my own podcast, and literally the reason I made the podcast is for two reasons. And this was them in a row. This is when I was still bouncing all over the place in entrepreneurship and I wasn't even niched down. Yeah. So this, I made it for two reasons. And reason number one, first and foremost, was selfishly, I wanted to surround myself with other individuals that I thought I could learn something from, who have actually done what I want to do, basically get my education instead of going to, you know, a professor that hasn't accomplished what I want to do business-wise. How about I go to, you know, an eight-figure earner who has, and have them on my podcast and build a relationship with them on the back end? Because as Russell Brunson said, beginners monetize the front end, experts monetize the back end. That's what you want to do. You want to build those relationships.
Say that one more time, because I
beginners monetize the front end, experts monetize the back end. So after this podcast, right? Like, or any podcast, the relationship you build with that person is where the real value is, because you can learn so much from them. And you're not just taking in that relationship. You actually build it by giving, right? And seeing, how can I provide value to this person who I just interviewed, right? How can I do this and whatever? And I would always ask myself that. And I would have a few different things that I would offer people after they came on my show. And I still am in contact with people because of that. It's been awesome. You know, we've been able to interview some people, like the founder of Make-A-Wish even, just nice. With strategies like this. Appreciate nice, it, man. And it's been a really cool journey with that. But that's what I would say is find who has the education and build a relationship with them. The best way to build it, honestly, just being straight up, is to have a podcast right now and have
them on the most podcast. Best. I connected with a lot of people, so I can definitely vouch for you on that.
Yeah,
by just going straight into Instagram and DMing random people that was very high. I was like, I'm gonna shoot my shot.
Yeah,
and if I get a response, I'm like, oh, yeah, there we go.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like some people will literally, like, you don't expect it. You're like, oh, you have, you know, like 300,000 followers and you're verified, and then they'll just be like, yeah, for sure.
And then you're probably like, wait a minute, like, oh, what did you just say? Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, you know, think about all the people they know, right? And whatnot. It's like, if you're providing value and you're leading with that and you have good intentions of actually wanting to serve people as your overall goal, people can see that and they want to be around other great people. And they are, a lot of times, people who have had a lot of success are very generous to give back to, because they're like, yeah, you know, people help me along the way. I'm happy to do so as well. So I would definitely say find the people who have the information and surround yourself with them. So that's that one. And then the other thing I would say is invest in yourself. Don't be cheap, because being cheap is one of the most expensive things you can do. It's very true. I wish I knew this earlier on. And like,
you live and learn.
For example, bro, a course that I joined, it was $16,000, but it's the best course. It was, it's called Seven Figure Agency. Shout out to that. I'm not getting any money for saying that. But if you guys do want to come and shoot me up, I'll get an affiliate referral if you tell me it's from me.
Yeah, you know,
but I'm gonna help you. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, but like, I'm not getting any money for saying this right now, right? And it's like that course has been so influential because it's not just a course; it's also coaching and these things. But it was $16,000, right? And when I originally was gonna do it, it was only $10,000, and I'm like, oh man, like, but I was like, that's too much money. I can't. It's not worth it. Whatever. It's a course. I'm in a course right now. It's in like a few like $1,000 course-esque stuff, right? When I joined that for $16,000, not only was it worth all the value and we saw our ROI, but also, and dude, don't get me wrong. Like, there was a while, cause we can get into this later, but where I was like in debt and like fighting out of it because of that, cause I put myself in a certain situation cause I didn't save enough cash like I should have. And it's something I learned cause we can dive into that later. Cause I think it'd be really beneficial. As you can tell, I'm all over the place with this cause I love it. The thing is, what are you saying?
No, I said, just be you.
Oh, appreciate it, yeah. Man. The thing is, man, like being cheap is so expensive because I bought all these other courses for like $1,000, you know, a couple hundred, couple whatever, when I should have just bought that to start and gotten all the, because I would have saved so much money and I didn't have the money at that point. There's ways to get money. If somebody came to you with a Lamborghini, right now, and they're like, hey, and you know it's a legit Lamborghini, they're like, I'll give this to you for $5,000 and you have $0. You'll find a way to get $5,000. If they're like, if you can get $5,000 by the end of the day, this is yours. Yeah, you'll find it because you know you can sell that Lamborghini for $200.
You're gonna get your money back.
Exactly. I mean, yeah.
You better call your cousins, family, and all that.
Exactly. Like, there's ways to get money when you don't have it, and a lot of times these places offer financing too. But my point is, that's good debt, right? That's not bad debt. Like, you're gonna buy a Lamborghini when you don't have the money. That's stupid. That's so fucking dumb, in my opinion. But if you're talking about like investing in yourself, and then also here's the biggest part, and then I'll transition from this because I know I've spent a good amount of time on this. But the last part, and this is really important, is invest some of that money too in personal coaching with the right coaches and mentors, people who do what you want to do. And a lot of times what I found, there are coaches that are good that advertise their services, but a lot of times there are hidden gems that you can actually find if you're building relationships with people on the podcast that you can pay that have done what you want to do for an amount that isn't crazy, even though like my first like legitimate coach that I paid was $500 an hour. And it was very worth it, right? I would meet with him for 2 hours a month. And so 30 minutes a week, 2 hours a month total, $500 for that. And just helped because it took months off my learning curve. He just gave simple advice like, hey, when you're doing your email outreach, are you cleaning your list? Because if you're not cleaning your list, all your shit's going to go to spam. Like, that saves so much time. You know what I mean? Like, so that's just like one tactical thing. I could go into a lot more. And if you want to get tactical later, I have no problem getting tactical and providing some like really legitimate like takeaways for agency owners specifically, or just entrepreneurs in general. But you know, I specialize clearly in running an agency. So that's the advice I would give.
Awesome, awesome. So great, grand answers and much more. That I definitely vouch for the part of investing your money into someone like a coaching mentor to help you like speed up and get to where you want to, because why would you want to lose time and make the mistakes on yourself when you can actually just spend the money and help yourself?
Yeah, the opportunity cost is crazy of what I missed out on too. You look at when I say cheap versus expensive, I had so much more opportunity cost too, because if not only would I've saved more money if you look at it from like a, you know, like a just an Excel spreadsheet standpoint of, you know, financials, but I would have also saved a ton of money in opportunity cost because I would have been making more money sooner. Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, for me on my end, it's like, okay, let me buy this cheap $200 camera. Like, you know, you need to go ahead and buy the stuff.
Yeah, then you're going to buy like the $1,000 one later. And now you spent $1,200, right? So it's so true. That always happens to me when I go cheap on something. I like 70% of the time have to buy the more expensive thing later.
It is what it is. So we'll dive into something that John, I know you're going to love more, the importance of being happy. So I know you gave a lot of business advice and much more, but your happiness is also very important. I feel like a lot of people lose track of that. So I'm going to go ahead and let you answer on this.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's a great question. So yeah, this is one thing. When I started my personal brand, I was like, I don't want to give business advice because at this point I did not know any like much about business when I started it, you know, like, 2.5 years ago, a little more than that, right? I like was so new to business. I was still doing it. I was learning stuff, but I didn't feel like I should be like a guru or something because I haven't really learned it and paid my dues. So one thing I was like, man, if I could share this with people, it would really help people as well, that I want to share, is I was like genuinely happy, right? Even though I didn't have these like goals and whatnot, I think that's a big takeaway right at the point is happy people typically find ways to be happy right where they are right now and not I'm going to hit this and then I'll be happy. Cause it's like, if you think you're going to be happy after you hit all your goals, you're just going to feel unfulfilled because you're going to hit them and you're going to be like, man, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So you can get good at looking at the person in the mirror each day and you are genuinely good with yourself. That's when you can really find yourself to be happy, but that's complicated because the main thing I think is that there's a lot of, it's almost like us wanting to protect ourselves from the people that we're surrounded with a lot of times. Like in high school, for example, I had to act a certain way sometimes to try to like, you know, maintain a certain status, even though I had to like ignore some things that I didn't think were right. I had to, you know, I would speak up on certain things, don't get me wrong, but not as much as I should have, you know? And it's something where I didn't have to do that, but in my mind I had to in order to be happy. So that's why I think your environment actually that you're in is super important for your happiness.
Because if you're that.
What'd you say?
No, I said definitely agree on that environment.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, if you're in an environment where you're listening to all this stuff and or you're just seeing all these things that aren't good. And like, if you speak up against it, then you're just shot down right away. And that's all you get. That's your constant feedback loop. You're just going to conform, right? You're going to do what's normal. Exactly. Yeah. And you're just going to go back into, you know, being like everybody else in that group. But that's why I think the internet's such a blessing now and then. Some of my best friends, and some people can make fun of this, I don't really care. They are people who I haven't even like shaken hands with in person. Just because, like, for example, JR, he's a team member on Empathy. The dude lives in Oregon. I live in Wisconsin. I've never seen the guy in person, but man, we have great conversations. We have such a genuine connection because we're so like-minded and we really respect and value each other and see that we're trying to do the same thing and accomplish a goal that so many people, and don't get me wrong, I have friends and whatnot, like from where I'm from that I'm good friends with. It just is a much smaller group, you know? And it's like, yeah, I think that the quality over quantity is very important. And a lot of times it's just being comfortable enough with yourself to realize that you don't have to look so cool to everyone else. Because it takes a lot of actual self-confidence to be comfortable enough with yourself to be okay with, you know, not really fitting the social norm or not doing X, Y, Z or whatever.
And I feel like once you get to that point, then you're going to start really seeing your greatness. It's like I always use an example like Muhammad Ali, like saying, I am the greatest. Like once you know your role and like what your talents are much and you stay within your own, you just play your own lane, you're winning. But once you start out walking outside of who you are, that's when you start losing.
And you attract like-minded people. For example, if I didn't put out this energy and if Chris didn't put out this energy, there's no way that we would have heard about each other and known each other, right? And because we're both doing something that, you know, we have similar goals in mind and we have a similar mindset and whatnot, we're going to be way more likely to connect. So, you know, it's the quote unquote law of attraction, but I really believe that the law of attraction is just as simple as like, hey, you know, if you're smoking a ton, you're going to be a ton around of other people who smoke. Like that just is, you know, it just is true. So it's not even so like woohoo. It just is like logical, you know? And it's like, wow, if you're like working on building tons of value for your clients, you're going to be around a whole bunch of other people that care about, you know, the people behind their product or service that's actually using it. And those are the types of people that I want to surround myself and mainly happy people. Don't get me wrong. It's a mix like anything else. But I can dive more into depth on like specific questions you have along because happiness is such a broad thing that there's a lot of different components of it. But I just feel like being comfortable with yourself and basically like even fighting against the grain of, you know, what's considered the norm is important. And I want to make this one last point before I stop here because I know I've been fucking rambling is that the thing that I'm most proud of for myself for doing and this is like, don't get me wrong, I love business and whatnot, but this, like, oh man, all throughout high school, like I said, I wanted to be a therapist / counselor. Like, it wasn't for sure. It was just kind of something I thought about. And there were people that I was just afraid if I made a YouTube video giving out my advice, because I love working with people one-on-one, but I could only reach so many people that way. I was like, man, I'm so busy with, you know, football and basketball and school, and now I'm trying this business thing even. Like, and that's something too, I think we should talk about focus later, because that's something that's really helped me be successful that I found out later on. But of course, only if you want to dive into it. But basically all this different stuff, I found the most fulfillment in going into and making my own YouTube channel. That not even is like a big deal. I don't even post on it anymore. I just put out my advice that I believed in, that I followed, and I put out my story, and I'm like, I'm going to take the criticism and whatnot. Like, I had a few people like razz me, because I knew there's a group of people in my grade that just like were going to shit on me, because all they do is
that's the biggest obstacle too, is like getting beyond that, because you know someone's going to reject it.
Exactly. And it's just being like, I'm okay with people doing that, because I, when you actually understand that, I feel bad for them. And I know this is something that Gary Vee talks about too, but it's so true, because it's like, if somebody's like thing that they can spend their time on, like the best thing they can spend their time on is thinking about how they can make a meme about somebody, or how they can like do this. Like it just saddens me, because I'm like, man, there's so many great things you can do in this world, yet you're like in the same circle, not exposing yourself to all these things with like, you know, people who are just shitting on everyone else because they're all insecure. And it's like, that's why I genuinely like want to reach out to some of these guys and have conversations with them. And I actually am planning to do so. But yeah, it's just as sad to see, because it not only brings other people down, but I just know that they're not in a good place, which is why they're doing something like that. You know,
some one thing I want to add too, and then we're going to go to this next one, is even Gary Vee said that, like, you're not going to care about what Punk 47 is going to say like 60 years from now. So all their comments. So like, it doesn't fucking matter. So
that's really factual.
Cool. So I want to back up to what you're saying, like the moment where you didn't save, you were saying earlier, and you're like, oh, sorry, I know I didn't save, but I just did anyway. So once you kind of go enlighten a little bit more on that real quick.
For which moment are you referencing?
When you're like, I didn't say, like when you're buying the courses.
I didn't say.
Or... You didn't save.
Oh, save.
Save. Yeah, save.
Yeah. So when I didn't save buying the courses, I'm just a bit confused. Can you jog my memory a little more on that? Sorry,
brother. You're good. Like you were saying, like you bought one of the courses, even though you know
didn't. Oh, you're saying like save money.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I got you. Got
I got. I thought you meant like saving like a video game or something. I was like, wait, are you saying like I created? I was just a miss. I got you, bro. Okay. So yeah, basically, you're talking about like the cheap versus expensive, like that kind of thing. Okay. Yeah, awesome. So yeah, I mean, to go more in depth on that, like, yeah. It's just, it's like, if I would have went for the most quality information instead of thinking, because this is how I thought, I'm like, man, if I just get all these like micro pieces, I can piece them all together. But really, and this is going to help way more for people watching the video. But right now, I have one hand at my eye and I have one hand at my chest. The hand at my eye is the one that is the information that I need to get to and implement, more so implementation. Because even if I have the information, I just read it and feel good. If I don't implement, then it doesn't mean shit, right? Exactly. So that's where I need to get to. And here's all the other courses, right? The smaller courses that give like general concepts, and they're good, but it's not like what I need to really succeed. I should have just gone straight to that instead of thinking that I could stack all these little pieces on top of each other and get to that level. Cause that just isn't how it worked for me, at least. I'm sure some other people have been successful with that. But for me, I just found it way better just going straight to, you know, the best information. And
absolutely.
Yeah, just that's helped a ton, man. Saved a lot of money too, because if I would have saved money, because if I did that originally, I wouldn't have had to buy all those other $1,000 courses.
Going back to what I was saying with the camera too, so awesome answers. So now going back to one of the other things you're talking about, the tactics that you use, like what were some of like the very good tactics that helped you along the way when you were into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, it's a very broad question. So like if we're talking about, you know, sales, marketing, client fulfillment, like do you want to hone in on any of those or
sales? Because I feel like that's going to be the one that's going to help a lot, because everybody's like, oh, I need money now. So sales. I'm just like, nah.
For sure. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Well, the first thing I would say is everyone's like that. So don't act like that. Right. So it's like, I have to give credit where credit's due. One of my coaches, and this is someone who I had in the podcast, taught me this. And he said, Gavin, money is, or he said, women and money have something in common. If you chase them, they run, right? So don't chase. That's the thing. If you come off as needy, nobody's going to want to do business with you.
Always like, go away. Like, nah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, want to buy this? No, but you have to come in a place of such certainty, and that really the mindset going into it is that, hey, we are going, like, I'm doing you a service by you buying this because it's going to help you. That's genuine sales and leadership. So you're leading them to a decision that's actually going to benefit them. That's the difference between people who are trying to make a quick buck and people who actually care about their clients and know that their service is going to help, because they're going to do whatever they can in their power to help them be successful. Now, don't get me wrong. Some clients still aren't going to put in the work, some whatever. There's only so much you can do. And it all depends on what you sell, right? So, because for us, we do lead generation. So we can bring them great leads and we can show them the scripts to, you know, set the appointments. We can give them sales advice on the appointments. But if they're not consistently working on implementing that too, because it takes time to even get better at that stuff once you know what it is, that's outside of my control. And it's something where I always think about this too. Well, how can I make it more in my control? Basically, meaning like, oh, well, could I give them this? Or could I offer this kind of thing too? And it's all a balance of like what you can do to scale to help more people and actually make holding them accountable to putting in the work. So a lot of times it's just holding them. Yeah, it's all good, Chris. No problem.
Are you good? I'm about to lose power.
No, it's all good. I'll just keep going on the sales while you.
No, you're good. I gotta save my computer before it dies.
I've had that happen before too, where I thought it was plugged in. I'm like, shit. Hey.
Yeah, I definitely didn't recognize.
No, it's all good.
And just transition. Well, we keep on the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's see, recording. Make sure this thing's powered up, plugged in this time. Mm-hmm. I can't believe the whole thing. All right, we should be good. All right, so yeah, we're going to go back. Yeah, I did lose power. That's what happens. So, like, I want you to continue on what you were saying earlier about the tactics and much more. So, yeah. Just keep off where you're going. So, you
got sure, the mic. Yeah. So sales-wise, too, it's really like, so that's the first thing. You want to approach it with that mindset. And then you also want to approach it like you're a coach and you're helping basically a student, right? That's how I always like to think about it. And that's how I advise, you know, my partner Grant too, as well, to think about that when he goes into his sales meetings, is because the people don't, they're, you know, used to have the smile and dial like, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Like, you know what? Oh man, I would love for you to do business with us. Like it would, whatever, like it just doesn't work anymore. It's actually good to be a bit of a dick if it meets your personality in your sales calls. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, be yourself. Definitely do that. So if you're not a dick at all, like me, I'm not that big of a dick. So I'm not, but I sometimes people, you'll say something like this. They'll be like, awesome. So Chris, what's the biggest problem in your business right now? Right. Or something, but you don't phrase it that way. We usually smooth it out. Right. We don't just say it like that, but I'm just using this as an example to be quicker. And then, you know, he might be like, oh, you know, well, we're pretty good. We don't have anything. I'll be like, oh so you don't have anything you could improve or. And he's like, oh man, we're good. I'm like, huh. So like, you know, how many, and then you just have to, dive deeper. You'd be like, yeah, I mean, like, I get that you're crushing it, man. Like what, if there was anything that you could get better at, what would it be? And then you just keep diving deeper, because once you can get them to say what it is, like, don't just be like, oh, you got nothing. Okay. And then move on. Cause if you're not going to find pain, it's going to be hard to close. Right?
That's perfect sense. It kind of reminds like the movie, The Wolf on Wall Street. It's like, you know, the whole scene is like,
I haven't seen the whole movie, but I've seen so many parts. I've seen so many bits and pieces, and I actually think it's so funny because it's like such a typical sound. I don't know why I haven't seen the whole thing, bro. I just don't watch movies, but I've heard funny things about it.
Don't feel bad. Antonio hasn't seen the whole thing. He's stuck on that one scene, and he's just got to go make the calls right then.
Yeah, and it's like, if you can, you know, because you need to find what problems they have, because a lot of people, they're trying to pitch before they even know what problem somebody has. It's like if you came into the doctor's office and you and the doctor was like, okay, so here's the prescription that I think you should take. And you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Like you haven't even you haven't put a thermometer in my mouth. You haven't looked in my ears. Like, you don't
hold
know
on. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Like, and even if you said, you know, hey, I got a sore throat, still you got to dig a little deeper. You know, he's got to open your mouth and use the little light thingy or whatever. That's what you have to do as a salesperson. You have to actually find out what problem the person has so you can help them solve it. And so that's like actually going to change.
It's like you're the doctor in business. Like, let me diagnose you real quick.
Yeah. Okay. And if somebody's just like, yeah, because a lot of times I'm going to give some more tactics since we're talking about tactics. A lot of times, you know, you're going to call someone and might be like, well, you know, like how much does it cost? So I just want to know, especially if you're on a phone call, right? Instead of Zoom. What I like to do in that situation, what we advise our team to do, is basically just say, hey, you know, so I'll just use your name, right? I'll be like, yeah, Chris. So it really depends on what you're buying, man. Right. Like we'll help with consulting. So we have that if, you know, depending on where you're at, we help with lead generation. generation. And really, we also have a program to really train your team on how to, and then you can put in whatever it is, if that's where you're at as well. So what I find most appropriate on these calls is really to go through and find where you're at as a business owner. So that way we can see what's going to be, you know, most appropriate package for you. And we can give you the price according to that. Mm-hmm. And then usually they're like, yeah, like, let's go through that. Right. So that's just another kind of like tactical thing. Cause that's such a common, like, you know, it's not even an objection. It's more of just like, hey, are you legit? And then you have to, when you have stuff like that, because some people are just like, oh, it's another salesperson. When they're feeling that way, you really have to build up your credibility. And sometimes you can do that by checking them more at certain points too. And you're not trying to fight with the person, because that's kind of what I'm making it sound like. That's not what I mean. It just is like, they're used to so many people just agreeing. When you break that pattern and show them like, hey, I'm not here to sell you something. I'm here to help you. And the way that this is actually going to be is from this service that we have. And you come out of that place, you're going to close a lot more deals. So yeah, it's something where it's interesting though, because every niche is different. For example, we used to sell to attorneys. Now we sell to a lot of like contractors and remodeling companies. You approach it very differently. So it really is situational. So that's why sales is kind of like more evergreen until you get into your specific situation, which is why it's good to have a coach. And a lot of times too, what I find, there's two types of coaches that I like to have. I like to have one that's like Yoda, where they just are like wise and like overviewing and kind of like they know business and shit. And then I like to have somebody who's in my place that has recently went from point A to point B, where I am to where I want to go. So like somebody who's recently went from like 20K to 50K. Right. You look at that and you're like, okay, I'm going to hire that person to figure out how they did, especially if they're in the same niche as you. Cause you can get a lot of really good advice from that. So I think both is really good to have, especially the latter of the two, cause that provides a lot of tactical value.
Cool. And as we close on now, I want to hit you with this grand question. What can you learn from millionaires? And I'm also talking about your podcast, cause I believe I just subscribed as well to get that value information as you drop the gems. But, what have you learned so far while doing this?
Oh man, what have I learned from like the millionaires?
We had to take a lean back. He had to go like this. He's like, oh.
really. I mean, like there's so many. It's funny because as I go throughout my day, I just find certain things where I'm like, man, I learned this from Greg Reed. You know, I learned this from David Meltzer or whatever it is. And like one thing that I think is really important, because I could touch on a lot of different things, but this is one that I use, and I have to give credit where credit's due. This is courtesy of Greg Reed. He wrote 3 Feet from Gold. And some other cool stuff. But basically, he taught me something called CPC. And me being a digital marketer, I'm like, cost per click? He's like, no, clues, patterns, choices.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, right? So it stands for clues, patterns, choices.
Okay, and write that down.
It's super powerful. And this is why it's so powerful. It goes from living your life, letting other people have control over you, to flipping the script and putting you in control over your life. And this is what I mean. It's all about taking clues that are given to you, spotting patterns, and then now you make the choice. For example, if I'm going on a date with a girl and it's our first date or whatever, and she's late, well, that's a clue that she might be late, right? She might be a person who is late to things, right? Let's go on another date with her. She's late again. Well, now it's another clue. So it's starting to form a pattern. Let's say we go on a third, she's late again. Now there's a pattern there, right? So now I can't get mad at her for being late. Now I have to choose because it's my choice. This is the third C. Is this something that I'm going to allow in my life? And for some people, it's not a big deal. They're like, yeah, man, I don't really care about being like super on time. That's not me. Some people, it's the biggest like pet peeve ever. And in that case, it's your choice. So you really have, I mean, there's more than two choices, but there's two primary choices, right? You can, at that point, talk to her about it. You could even do this before then too, and set the expectations, which is a big part about life, is setting correct expectations for yourself and the people around you to succeed. But you can talk to her about it and say, hey, like, I really like you as a person. I just am super like timely. I really value time for whatever reason. It's something that I'm just very like kind of over the top about. So if you could be, you know, like more punctual, that would be awesome, right? It's something I just would really respect and appreciate. And then, you know, if it still happens after that, now it's still your choice. Is this something you're going to tolerate? If it is, great. If not, then you have the choice to remove that person from your life. It's your choice. You don't give them the power anymore of making you feel angry because they're late, or making someone else feel angry because you have to, you know, do whatever with them. It's your choice if you're positioning yourself correctly over time with all that. And it's something that's like, I see it all the time. People getting mad over these things. I'm like, man, if they had the CPC approach they would like they would have so, so much more control. And it's just a way different mindset shift, because now the responsibility is on you and you regain control over your life.
You know, I think people who are not in winning situations like to blame other people.
Yes, exactly. And even when it's justified, still have CPC. That's what I'm saying, because even when it's justified, it doesn't do you any benefit to believe it. So like, because, okay, let's say it's totally justified. Someone else is totally fucking you over. Like, okay, well, what good is it going to do just to accept that? You're just going to be in the same situation. So if you at least come at it with a CPC approach, now you have a choice to change things.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So that, like I said, there's a lot of things that I've learned and I'd be happy to dive into more, but that's like, I think one of the biggest takeaways. Yeah.
So with that, I'm going to definitely bring you in for another one, because you already dropped a tremendous amount of value. You want to break this into segments. But
Appreciate it, Chris.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Yeah, but, so I'm going to let you go ahead and drop the mic. So leave us with a closing comment, and then where can they find you?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll start with where they can find me at. Really, it's Instagram is a really good place to get in touch with me. Sometimes I'll just ghost for like a week, 2 weeks, but don't take it personally. I respond to all my DMs that are serious, right? So that's a good place to get in touch. It's just a matter of time for when I'll respond. And then also, yeah, I mean, feel free to, you know, go watch my YouTube channel. Some old videos, but still some really good stuff on there too. And the podcast, Future Millionaires, clearly similar to Chris's podcast, it's loaded with value. So if you guys are interested in doing more of that, if you just look up Future Millionaires, yeah, of course, man. On any platform, you'll be able to find that. And as for the closing comments, I just think that life is way too short to live it really going off what other people want you to do, because this is such a big realization. We talked about this earlier, is that a lot of people, and this was me too, and still is to an extent, like, bro, I still try to break out of things that I teach. I always like to say I preach what I practice, right? Now I practice what I preach. I mean, like, what I'm currently practicing and still getting better at, because there's nobody who's fucking perfect, right? I still follow the advice I give others. And really, though, the biggest thing is a lot of people, they will really live their whole life based on what other people want them to do and the opinions of others, when they don't really care about those other people and those other people don't really care about them. That's the biggest thing. Is so many people will be like, man, I have to dress this certain way because I don't want these people to make fun of me. And they don't really care about the other people. And the other people don't really care about them. But they're literally changing their life to accommodate for those other people. And that's in so many areas of life. And if you can get more of just like doing you, right? Like right now, my hair is kind of like, actually don't look too bad right now. Never mind. But usually it's like, you know, sometimes I gel it up. Sometimes it's like this, sometimes whatever. I used to be so insecure. I would have to gel up all the time. Otherwise I'd feel like I just wasn't like presentable. Now I'm just kind of like, fuck it. You know, like I'm me, people are going to like me for me. And don't get me wrong. You want to have perception and status in certain situations. Otherwise your opinion will not be held as validly, but it's a balance like anything else in life. And the more that you can get comfortable being yourself and not being so vulnerable to the opinions of others, you're going to go a lot further and be a lot happier.
Some great way to close out. You just busted out the dang mics over here. You know, I got to replace the whole sound system. I
appreciate you, brother.
No problem. So we'll wrap this up. It's your host, Chris Holm, taking you to the next level as always. And I have my lovely guest by the name of
Gavin Lira.
Peace. Make sure that you subscribe, share, and keep the messages going, because we're all about giving you a tremendous amount of value like my boy Gavin did. And make sure that you take it to the next level. Peace.